Hey, this is the Budman, and you're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio on News Radio 93.1 WFLA. Now to our studio and your host, local real estate expert, and my friend, Laura Peterson.
Good morning, everybody. And with me today is Danielle Pume from Frontgate Realty. Welcome, Danielle.
Hi, good morning.
And we also have Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome, Chris.
Hello, everybody.
At Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. So to discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555, or you can go to on your cell phone, #250, and the keyword is real estate. So we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about today, as usual. And as we talked about last week, I believe it was that they're saying that December is the best time to buy if you're a buyer. And the reason for that is because there's not a lot of other buyers out there. And so you're going to get a decent deal in doing that. And the other thing that I think when it comes to a seller, that it's a good time to put your house on the market too, or at least be ready to, because when January 1st hits, it seems like everybody's putting their house on the market. And so you're competing against a lot of other houses. So there's reasons for you to definitely put your house on the market now or to be looking at houses.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
And if you want to wait until the holidays, I mean, you can have everything all ready and all of that so that your house goes on the market like December 26th or something like that, unless you're having a New Year's party and you don't really want to invite a bunch of other people to come. You know, that might be a good thing for you to do, is to have people come through your house between Christmas and New Year's and actually get it sold before the rush of everybody else that comes there. So when it comes down to it, you know, basically when you want to sell your house, the great news that we always are talking about in Central Florida is that we don't really have a season when it comes down to it. The bottom line is that everybody kind of, you know, our market is very consistent as time goes on, so we don't have to go into that. So we've got some things that I think are good if you're an investor. You know, obviously, this is a good time for you to be purchasing a home as well. And so when you're looking at it and you're wondering what renters think are most important to them when you're looking for a new home that you want to buy for an investment purposes, here's some things that people are looking for. The first thing is that most renters are excited to look for a new place. And it is amazing to me that most renters, when they're renting a place, like they need to be out of where they're currently at tomorrow. And that's when they're deciding to look for a new place. And we find that all of the time. Yeah. Is that it's just kind of a last minute type of deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, time creeps up on you, I think is really what it boils down to. And you don't realize, oh, you know, my lease is up, you know, December 31st. Oh, I got plenty of time. And then all of a sudden it's like December 20th, you know, December 20th. And you're like, oh my gosh, I got to go. So
yeah,
it does happen. It seems like every time I always ask, well, how much time are we working with? 6 days. Oh my gosh. Well, that's not good. That's not a lot, you know, so.
Yeah. And I mean, when you're looking for a house, you obviously have more time than that. But it is true that when people are looking for a rental, it does come down to just a few days is what they're looking for. And when they're looking at what's most important is basically what the price is, and is one thing. But people like the upgrades. They like a fresh coat of paint.
Yeah.
They like the carpet to be at least clean. A lot of people like tile throughout. And when you look at the new buildings that are going up that are apartment complexes, they're all very top of the line type of items. They all have granite countertops and
they're really nice.
Yeah. They've got
they're fancy nowadays.
Yeah.
They are very fancy.
I never had a rental as nice as they are now. I mean, of course I never had the payments either, but you know, it's like, yeah, I see them advertised and I'll call just to see what they're what they're offering. And they got stainless steel appliances. Some of them have, you know, the kitchen backsplashes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that sounds so nice. You know, and it's a rental.
And I swear they're like coming like pools and spas and all kinds of things now, too. Like,
wow.
Exactly. And but one of the most important things that is important to the renter is the location. And so as you always hear in real estate, location, 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 it's not any different for renters. They want to be close to bus lines or close to where they work or close to schools. And so as you're driving around Central Florida and you see more and more apartment buildings going up, that's why, because those are in a location where people want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the number one thing right there when it comes to rentals or whether it comes to purchasing a home. And that's a really big thing that is important for you when you're buying a home, that the location is the right location for you, as well as for a renter. It's the same. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 a.m. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407-566-2555. So one of the things is that you might wonder what renters think about while looking for an apartment. And one of the things that they're looking for is the neighborhood, the utilities is a big thing too. And one of the things that most people may not know is that you can actually, on any property that's out there that's been in existence before, is that you can call Duke Energy, for example, and you can ask them what the average bill has been for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a really good thing to do, whether you're buying or whether you're renting,
yeah,
is to actually call and see what it is. Now, there are people that like their houses freezing.
Yep.
And if you like your house freezing, then your electric bill is going to be significantly higher than somebody that keeps it at a typical Florida temperature, which may be like 74 to 75 or something like that. But if you're going to go down to the 72s, and I've had people say that I've got to have it at 60. And,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And yeah, so that definitely makes a big difference in the electric bill.
Mm-hmm.
So those kinds of things obviously would make an impact on it. But for the average person, if you're looking at what you're going to keep it at, you know, you can always call them and find out what it is. And most renters really do compromise on the rental. And I think that the reason for that is because they are waiting till the last minute.
Yeah. Well, that, and there's just not that much inventory either. I feel with the rentals, there's just not a lot out there. And then a lot changes within that year when they might have started that lease. So maybe they were at a $1,500, you know, let's say budget, or that's what their rent was. And then now all of a sudden, a year later, the prices have gone up and now they're in like 17 or 18. So now they're right, scrambling and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, I should have maybe checked sooner. I should have maybe renewed my lease if I had the option. I mean, there's different things that, you know, play a factor.
There definitely are. And I think that the other thing is that some people do think, though, that you start too soon, because we have people sometimes that contact us that they want a rental and that's like 2 months in advance.
Couple months, yeah.
And if the owner can get a renter in 1 month, then they're not going to wait 2 months for mm-hmm. you, because that's losing a whole month's rent.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best time to do it is probably if you're going to do it maybe a couple of months starting before the month before you're going to do it. So right around that 30 day, maybe mm-hmm. 35 days or whatever, because if they don't have a renter at the last minute for that month, then they know that they're probably going to have to wait until the next month. So they might be more amenable to that. And what renters wish they knew before signing their lease is that they wish that they had checked out more places in person, which is obviously a good thing. Find out about the neighbors. And that's something that when you're in an apartment complex that can be important. I know they have that commercial on TV now. I don't know if you've seen it, where they talk about, they have this lady that's looking at a rental unit.
Oh,
and the
yeah.
guy from one side's talking and the guy on the other side's here and the guy on the other side.
Wow.
So some of those walls are kind of thin and that kind of thing. So you want to make sure that you've done that. And then they want to make sure that you inspect the property more thoroughly. And I think that's a really good point, you know, that you want to go through and you want to make sure that you write down anything that you see and take pictures of it and everything and give it to the management company before you move in. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Online, find us at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me today is Danielle Plume from Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And we also have Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome back, Chris.
Hello, hello.
At Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. So I think that we've got an interesting little topic that we're going to talk about now, and it's the battle of the sexes. Who wants to own a home more, men or women? And I think that what we want to know from you, Chris, is like who's easier to work with or if there is, you know, anything when it comes to when you're dealing with people. I think it depends probably more on personalities than it depends on what sex people are when they're coming to
I gotta be careful here.
House.
My wife might be listening.
But I think that that's what it comes down to is really more detailed persons probably get the stuff to you more quicker than the people that are, you know, more happy-go-lucky and don't really give a rip about a lot of things.
You know, I would say on average, the wife or the woman of the relationship usually is a little bit more organized, a little more detailed, and has the better command of the documents and stuff like that. So most of the time it might be easier to get documents from that way. But you know, it all depends. And there's definitely some cases where the husband just has complete control of everything, you know, and will kind of dictate how I work with. But I would say there's no real way to tell, like, you know, who's easier to work with or not. I would say most of the time any one of them can be easy to work with. You know, there's nobody that's difficult.
I think it comes down to personalities as opposed to that. But it does say in the study that single females want to own property more than single males do. So that's
interesting.
Yeah, so that they value home ownership more than the single males, 73% to 65%, and they place a higher priority on saving for a down payment, 66% to 55%, according to this record. And they prioritize improving their credit scores more than the unattached man, 49% to 42%. So it just it just comes down to, it's just kind of a fun little study that they did. But I think that that's an important thing. Those are important things that you have to do when you're going to buy a house, whether you're single or married or whatever. You have to be concerned about having a down payment or being at least on notice that that's something that you should be concerned about. And then the second thing is look at your credit scores and see what it is. And I think one case in point that we had this week, it was a couple that we had sent your way, Chris, and they're just about ready to do it, but there are a few more things that they can do to their credit in order to get them to be in better shape a couple of months from now. So it's better for them to not buy a house like at this particular moment, but to hold off a couple of months in order to get that get a better credit score. And if they hadn't talked to you, they wouldn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a great addition to what we talked about just the last segment, where someone who's renting and just not sure where they're at, and these people took a proactive decision to come and speak with us first to see where they're at. Their lease wasn't up until next year, so they have a little extra time to work on some things, and that way, like you said, it puts them hopefully in a better position. You know, you're looking at not only down payment wise, but credit score wise, getting the better interest rate. Those are all great things to know now, instead of them calling us, you know, a month before, and then they're in a more dire position to move forward, and maybe can't put themselves in a better position.
Yeah, and when you are going to buy a house, it does make sense to plan. That you definitely want to plan and you want to do what you need to do in order to get the best situation for yourself, whether it's being able to afford something different or whether it's that you get your offer accepted on a house because of what you've done, because you can make a stronger offer than somebody else that hasn't done that. And so it just puts you in a better position. So it basically comes down to planning and that, and that's a really good thing for people to do. And one of the things that they say that is the hardest thing for people to do is probably saving for a down payment. And I think that especially this time of year, people are thinking, oh my gosh, you know, the holidays are coming up. And if I haven't spent all the money to buy the gifts for the people, that I'm going to spend more money. And people spend more money on parties and all kinds of things at this time of year. So it's not necessarily the easiest time to save. But if you just saved a little bit this month, just think what you could do the rest of the month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's always that you can do it too. I mean, they have those little, like, you could put $1 a week, you know, and then at the end of the year you have, it's like $1,300 saved up, mm-hmm. like $1, $2, mm-hmm. three, you know, for every week. Or like you said, I mean, cut out something, you know, maybe a habit that you're used to, Starbucks or something like that. I mean, you'll be surprised yep. how much you spend at those places. And, well,
what is
$5
a coffee?
Then you can pocket it. And then before you know it, you've got it saved up.
Yeah. And it might not be that you cut it out completely. I always heard that if you've got something like that, some of those financial classes and stuff that I've been to, if you've got something that you spend a lot of money on and it's a habit that you do it, you can't cut it, you can't go cold turkey mm-hmm. because cold turkey, you're going to probably at some time go, okay, forget it. I really want that. But if you cut back, mm-hmm. then it's a big thing. So instead of going and buying a coffee, maybe it's, you don't buy two coffees a day, you buy one coffee a day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or something like that. So at least cutting back.
Some mm-hmm. of the best customers I've worked with in the past, they have an actual Christmas savings account.
Yeah.
And that they might put like maybe 1% of their paycheck or something into it in that way by the end of the year. So to add on what you're saying, that great way to help yourself.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. And then when they're look, and basically one of the best ways that people do create wealth in America is through real estate. And that was all part of this as well. So, you know, developing that habit of saving. And then when you own a property, you're paying it down. Mm-hmm. So your payments are going towards something, so it's not money that's going out the window. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the News Talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Front Gate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Front Gate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, call 407-566-2555. So generating wealth in real estate is really a good way to do things. A lot of times people will buy a home to begin with, and they're not necessarily going to sell that home when they move on to the next property. Mm-hmm. They're going to rent that out, and then they're going to be able to move on and get another property. And there are good ways to do that, Chris. You know, when you need to get you have a loan already and then you're getting another loan, it just mm-hmm. pretty much comes down to your DTI or your mm-hmm. debt to income ratio, right?
Yeah. And actually what we allow you to do is, so let's say you have a primary home and you're vacating that to purchase a new primary, we'll allow you to go in and execute a lease on that home that you're vacating. And we will use that income to offset your current mortgage payment on it, which will significantly help your debt to income ratios. You know, we're only going to use a portion of that income, but it generally will make a big difference on you being able to buy another home without having to sell your home first, if you're in the position to want to keep it and rent it.
Yeah. And that's a really good way to build wealth.
Most
I know,
definitely.
So that you could go ahead and do that. And so that makes it just easier long term mm-hmm. for you to go ahead and build that wealth and have more assets and everything, because let's face it, over time, when you've got that whole thing paid off, then mm-hmm. that's 100% money into your pocket and everything when it goes to it. And I know that one guy had told me a couple of years ago that what he did is that he actually bought a house a year and rented it out. And so he was constantly moving. And then he got to the point where he didn't want to move. But so he would buy a house every year. And then his retirement is that he was going to sell a house every year because mm-hmm. they would all be paid off. So it was a great way to, you know, build that wealth, have somebody else really pay for it, the renters. And this market in Central Florida is perfect for that situation mm-hmm. because the rentals are constantly going up, number one. And number two, there is such a demand for it. Mm-hmm. You don't really sit with them empty at all.
And most of the time, the rental payment is at least the amount of your mortgage payment, including taxes and insurance, which is huge.
Correct.
So you're almost never out of pocket each month on your mortgage and with the rent that you're getting.
Yeah. So it does end up being a really good situation. So especially if you buy a starter home, then that's going to be the lower rent for people mm-hmm. and be everything to go. In order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or online, go to CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me today is Danielle Pume from Front Gate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hello.
And we also have Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome back, Chris.
Hello.
At Front Gate Realty, your home is sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is interest rates with you, Chris, because everybody's always talking about, oh my gosh, they're going up and affordability is going out the window, but we've got a little change in what's happening right now. Is that right?
Yeah, things are definitely kind of shaken up over the past week or 2 weeks. So everybody knows I've spoken about a couple times, and people in my track were, obviously the rates are going up, and it's usually the biggest indicator has been because the Federal Reserve has continued to raise the national federal rate. But that's all generally baked in advance, right? So if they talk about something like that like 3 months ago for a December action,
yeah,
then the markets are already reacting to that, you know, back in September, right? So rates have already adjusted for what's supposed to happen this month. But what's happening lately is, even though the economy is still kind of turning nicely, you're starting to see maybe a slowdown. Nothing huge, nothing major, nothing that we need to be alarmed about, but enough to where that's going to potentially stall the Federal Reserve from further actions on increasing that federal rate. And markets are definitely reacting to that. If you watch the news, you probably know the past couple of days has been brutal for the stock market. And where the stock market is not a direct indication of what's going to happen to mortgage rates, it could be an influence.
Yes.
Right. And then one of the more closer indicator for what's happening in rates is the bond market. And so we're seeing those respond to certain things like the economy, like what's happening to stocks, things like that. So I would say probably in the last few days, you might be seeing a better rate by almost a quarter point, which is pretty amazing. You usually don't see swings that big in a short time period. They tend to adjust slightly, you know. And one of the major things about that is, like, let's say someone was, like, before, maybe I was offering you, let's say just for these numbers, a 5% rate. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now, let's say it's 4.75. You're talking maybe $30, $40, $50, $60 per month, depending on how much of a loan you're trying to get,
right,
which is pretty huge. So, and I was watching, I was paying close attention this morning to the employment. There's a job report, big job report every month. And it came out where we didn't add as many jobs as they were expecting. There was other, like, good news in it.
Right.
But further proof that the Federal Reserve will likely not adjust the rate at all next year, which is huge. So we could see a further improvement on our rates over the next couple months, which I think for further add to being December a good month to buy a home.
Yeah. And so what does it mean, like, when you get it locked? Like, say that I have my rate locked and now the rates went down. So then what do we, mm-hmm, what do we do in that kind of situation?
So you're kind of in a tough spot. If a lender locked your rate, more than likely they did it just to protect what is there. It's, you know, sometimes the risk versus reward is just, you know, hey, don't risk. In most markets, once you've locked it, you're pretty much stuck, right? You okay, really can't do anything. However, now this is back, I think I'm talking maybe 2011, 2012. We were going through a major, almost like a daily massive decrease in the rates. So, like, I would wake up one morning at, like, you know, 4.5, and then the next morning I was at 4%. You know, that's a big shift, right?
Right.
When that happens, then you start to see, if that does happen again, you start to see mortgage lenders, they will start allowing you to what's called renegotiate your lock, which what that means is they know they more or less they can go and renegotiate on the secondary market. They're going to lose a little bit of money, but they're going to gain it as well. So they start allowing us to do that. So if you're someone that's locked in, let's say at 5.5% today, but maybe by next week rates further go down to, you know, 4.875. There might be a case the lender policy might allow you to renegotiate that lock. Not every lender does that, but some might.
So it comes down to, in that kind of a situation where if it's just a slight change, it's really not even worth it or worth considering or anything like that.
No. And most of the time that's the case. I think the last time there was an environment to allow that was back in, like, 2011, 2012. I haven't seen anything like that since. But it protects you the other way around. Let's say if rates go back up again, you're protected, right? So it's a catch-22, double-edged sword type thing.
Right, absolutely. If you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407-566-2555. So when we're talking about mortgage rates, then when they're just adjusting a smidge, which is what they do probably throughout the day, not just on a day-to-day basis. So it's not going to, maybe the difference in your, in the amount that you're going to pay is going to be a couple, $3 is probably what it is.
Yeah, normally very little. I watch it closely, obviously, for my customers. I want to make sure I'm getting you in the best position possible.
Right.
But I might tell somebody, look, you know, it's improved by 0.125%, right? And so at that point, just lock it because that might have saved you, you know, $10 a month or something like that.
Right.
And then not, could rates improve a little bit more? Possibly. None of us have,
the crystal ball
that's going to tell us what's going to happen. But at some times I'm like, look, this just saved you some money. Let's take what we can get.
Yeah. And I think that that's the important thing, whether rates are going up or going down, really at looking at it, it comes down to the affordability of what you can afford is what it comes down to and what you're willing to pay. So we find a lot of times, which I'm sure you do too, Chris, that there are people that they can afford more of a house based on what their ratios and income and those kinds of things are. But they are conservative in their thinking and they want to keep their payment to X amount. So that's all they're going to spend, which I think is great because that's keeping them fiscally responsible in everything that they want to do. Everybody's different in what they want to do. I mean, some people have goals that they want to travel a lot or they want their kids to go to private schools and that kind of thing. And when they do that, then obviously they might want to not pay as much on their house payment because they want to have the extra money for those extra things that they want to do. And so everybody's different when it comes down to that. And then you've got the people that are just homebodies and their house is it. And that's it.
They're done.
So it comes down to everybody being able to do what they want to do. And that's what's important. And so as you're looking at these rates, the rates aren't really something that the public is concerned about. What they're concerned about is the payment. And that's what it comes down to. And with different loan programs, as we've discussed before, there are different payments for different loan programs as well, whether you're getting a VA loan or whether you're getting an FHA loan or a conventional loan. They are all going to be different based on the amount of money that you put down and as well as whatever program that you're in, because they all have different fees. So the best thing for somebody to do is not to research it on the internet.
No.
The best thing to do is to actually give you a call and actually go through your own situation to find out what's the best option for you, because that's what it comes down to. It's not about what's going to happen next year or whatever. It's when the time is right that you're ready to go in and do what's important to you.
No crystal ball, no way for any of us to tell you, hey, next June when you think you're going to be ready, that rates are going to be this, if you payment this, and each loan program constantly changes. You know, 5-6 years ago I would have told you an FHA loan was always the best loan program to do because it had the best rates. Well, that's not true anymore.
Right.
So things constantly change. And so there's no way to tell you, definitely hold off a little bit longer because it might be better then. You know, if you're in a position now and you're ready for the house now, you need to explore that now because it just might be the best position now for you.
And
to be
the
in.
Thing is, too, is that if rates go up significantly, then what tends to happen is that the housing market can somewhat stall and it might fall back a little bit and that as well, because it comes down to affordability. Because it comes down to those prices of what people can pay. And they are regulated by the government, so you can't say 100% of your paycheck is going to go towards housing. That's not allowed because they know that you're going to have other expenses like eating and those kinds of things, so that doesn't happen. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com, and we will see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. And with me today is Danielle Pume from Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hi, good morning.
And we also have Chris Urban from Butler Mortgage. Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you. Hello.
So at Frontgate Realty, you know your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. And what we've got to talk about now are a lot of things that are happening right now out there in the market that when we're talking about debt to income and everything, what happens with that? Because we just finished up that last segment talking about that the government does have regulations on debt mm-hmm. to income. Mm-hmm. And so how all that works, if you could explain a little bit about that, Chris, that'd be great.
So the initial basics is this, because a lot of people tell me when I start asking about debt, they start naming off things like, cell phone bills, car insurance, stuff like that. We actually don't look at that. So the main things we're looking at when we're trying to figure out your debt to income ratio, the obvious one is your income. What's your guaranteed pay from your employer, or if you're self-employed, I'm looking at what you filed with IRS on your tax returns. And then I'm taking the mortgage payment or the potential mortgage payment, right? And that comes with a one number, that usually a percentage, and it's usually the lowest percentage of the other one that we're going to talk about. And then what we'd look at is your credit, right? And so credit, you're typically, is just going to be your auto loans, student loans, credit cards, or any other. Some people have like recreational vehicles, four-wheelers, RVs, things like that. Anything that you might have that's actually a credit item will show up on your credit report. And we have to look at those numbers together with the potential mortgage payment against how much income you have. And that will give us, again, another percentage that we're going to want to keep in a relatively conservative range because of the fact that we don't consider things like, what you have to pay if you have children, utilities, credit, cell phones, things like that, because we don't consider those. So we have to make sure there's enough room for you to have for those expenses as well.
Okay.
Exactly. And so when you're looking at that, and one of the questions that I always get from people is, it net or gross income?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's the good news is it's always gross. And so, and this is not like after what you put to your 401k or what after you put to, anything that you might have like health insurance, it's literally the top number before all those things are deducted from your pay.
Okay. So that's always good to know. And so when you're looking at that, then for different programs, there's different debt to income mm-hmm. ratios mm-hmm. that are acceptable. And I think that we talked a couple of weeks ago that the VA loan has the highest.
Typically. Yeah. If you're a veteran, the good news is, it will stretch your income further than either loan program. So to give you an idea, let's say, I'm trying to think of an easy way to do it. Let's say you make $1,000 a month in income. That's your gross income.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say between your mortgage payment and all your current debt equals about $600, which that's, not realistic, but we're just trying to do this for easy numbers.
Right.
So that's about 60% of your income on a VA loan. That is a potential loan right there that VA will allow, which no other loan program would push that.
No, they'll want you to be more like in the 30 or 40, 40%, 40 to 50.
Yeah, the more ideal. So FHA is the next more liberal program. I've seen 57%, 56%. I would say the norm is probably below 55, though, in most cases.
Now that's total debt to income?
Total debt to income. Again, that's your total gross income versus the mortgage payment plus whatever's on your credit. And so we'll take 55% of that. And that's, I'll be honest, that's stretching it as well. It's an uncomfortable scenario for most people. But because you got to realize what they're looking for is your total loan package, your credit scores, how much money you have in a bank, things like that. So, and then conventionals in USDA are the most, actually USDA being the stricter of them all, but the USDA loan program. But conventional, the average is in that 45 range. If you are you have a higher score, and again, you're putting a little more money down, or you just have a little more money in the bank for reserves, it will actually push it up to 49.9.
Which is good.
Yeah.
So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio 93.1 WFLA, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty, and Chris Urban with Butler Mortgage. Remember, if you want to reach any of us, you can call 407-566-2555. And I think that another thing that's worth mentioning when you're talking about debt to income is that there are percentages that are for just your home payment, mm-hmm. and then there are percentages mm-hmm. that you add on all the other stuff.
Yep.
And so the home payment, like you said, for a VA loan could probably be higher than some of the other ones.
Yeah. So there, and there's actually two different ranges. So what we call them is this: the first number is your gross income versus just the housing payment mm-hmm. or the mortgage payment, and that's what we call your front end debt to income ratio. And that number is generally a lower range than the other version. So that one, you, again, depending on the loan program, you start pushing 38-39% on that of your income, it starts to become an issue. It could go higher. I've seen it higher, but it does, especially on VA, it can go into the 40s, but it does become an issue. The other number is called your back end debt to income ratio. And that's the one where it includes your gross income versus your mortgage, your housing payment, your mortgage payment, and all your credit debt. And that's the one that's always higher. And you can push usually, it's obviously usually higher for a reason because of it, including the credit debt. And so we allow that range to be higher.
Yeah. And when you're looking at it, so obviously if you're looking at, you know, once you take out taxes and all of those mm-hmm. kinds of things, it doesn't sometimes leave mm-hmm. you with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we talked about earlier, that there's some people that don't use the full amount that mm-hmm. they're capable of using because they want to be conservative and to be able to do more things mm-hmm. than just, you know, have a house and everything tied into it and be strapped and, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. how am I going to do this? And I think that that's obviously wise. So that's why those limits are in existence, to make mm-hmm. sure that mm-hmm. we're all thinking ahead in regards to what we can afford and what we can do and everything. And for some people, when spouses or families are getting a loan, there's sometimes where it makes sense where just one of the people of the partnership are actually putting themselves on the mortgage. And so you might have that additional income from the other spouse or whatever, mm-hmm. but it does not include in those percentages because mm-hmm. they're not going on the loan. So there are people that might go up to the max and it's totally comfortable for them because they do have another income mm-hmm. coming in, but it's not something that's reported because it's not considered in the loan. And just for different purposes, I know that there's been situations where one of the spouses has had major medical things that happened to them that are showing up on their credit report. And so it makes it so that it doesn't make it conducive to them to get a loan and those kinds of things. And so mm-hmm. there's different things that happen that just make it an easier situation to just go with one person than the other. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I think is true as well, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that when you're looking at both spouses together, when you're looking at the credit scores, they're always going to take the lowest person's credit scores. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. So let's say you have, you know, one individual with a 780 credit score, beautiful credit score, but if the significant other or just the other person on the loan, it doesn't mean you have to be married or not, but let's say that the other person on the loan is a 620, we're going to use that 620 for the qualification purposes of the loan plus the credit score, the interest rate. So a lot of times, I'm working one right now where I'm on purpose did not include the spouse because the payment and the interest rate was just that much better and that person can qualify without having the spouse on a loan. So that's something we do look at quite often to make sure, again, that we're putting you in the best position possible.
And when you're doing that, you still can put the spouse on the deed. So the person can still own part of the house and mm-hmm. be part of that, but they're not part of the responsibility per se mm-hmm. to pay
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
that might be the better option anyways, right?
I always joke about that. I'm like, you get half the house, but none of the responsibility.
No obligation. So, hey,
that's right. Because you're going, I'm paying for that too and all of that, but it does make sense. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at Central Florida Real Estate Radio, and we will talk to you next week. Have a great one, everybody.
Have a good one.
Have a good weekend.